Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you here today and be talking to you on a great day here in September, so thanks for that. All right, once you know, we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And we archive all our podcasts there, just like we're going to do with this one. And we have our magazine over there, which is a great online journal called Equity in Access. We hope you go over and take a look at it and see all the other stuff we're doing. And we're just now starting a new website called SEL Today, seltoday.org. It's a tie between equity and the importance of social emotional learning. So please check that out. We'd love to have you go over there and see what we're doing over at seltoday.org. And again, here is ace-ed.org. So I'm talking to my friend Steve Wakefield over at Discovery. Tell him I wanted to do a show about a district that's doing some work with media literacy. And he said, how about information literacy? I said, what's that? He said, he's got a guy who can talk about this. So that's who our guest is today. We're going to talk about a new world of information literacy, okay, with Glenn Warren. And Glenn is the director in Encinitas Union, California. That's San Diego County, Encinitas, California. He's the director of Literacies Outreach. We'll find out exactly what we mean by that, and libraries. And he's good on this information literacy thing that we're going to talk about today. And Steve also suggested, because they do a lot of PD over there, we got Deb McCammon here, who is the manager of Partner Success for Discovery and worked with Encinitas as they put this together. And Deb, I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name there for one second, Ms. McCammon. Hi, Deb, it's Larry here.
Hi, Larry. Nice to meet you. Virtual.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. And until we meet in person, keep in mind I look just like Brad Pitt. Got that?
Awesome. Love it.
There you go. It's an amazing, amazing look-alike here. And it's a shame Glenn doesn't. Hi, Glenn. It's Larry here.
Well, hello there. I think you just demonstrated the need for information literacy.
There you go. Thank you very much. Okay, I appreciate it. Glenn, it's a pleasure to have you here. And I want to start off really simple. Tell us about Encinitas School District, which is in one of the prettier spots in the universe.
That is true. Encinitas,
yes,
is located in Southern California, just north of San Diego and,
yeah,
south of Orange County. It's a beautiful coastal town with a tremendous community commitment to a green, equitable, loving world.
How nice to say that.
Well, you know what, Larry, to be clear, education without love in it is not worth the time of day.
Yeah, beer here, I'll drink to that, my friend. I got some iced tea here, nothing stronger. Okay, you got that.
Well,
right.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, I imagine.
And I understand the real estate is also very inexpensive there. Would I be correct? Inexpensive.
That would be, again, kind of underscoring the point of our conversation today.
Yeah, maybe it would. I might have researched that the wrong way.
Yeah,
okay,
we might want to check the source of that information. Right, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Being on a coastal town in Southern California.
I have friends who live out there, and I live in Maine, okay, diagonally across the country from you. And I always tell them they should sell their house there and move here and buy Maine. Okay, because that's what they could probably do all right with that. Okay, it's just amazing. Okay,
yeah.
That is a great part of the world. And Deb, just real quick, what do you do over at Discovery? Tell everybody.
Yes, so Larry, thank you. I am a partner success manager, and when districts like Encinitas Discovery Education, they come my way, and I help implement and manage their account and make sure that they are up to speed on all that Discovery Education is.
And it is a lot. I do a lot of work with them, as you know, and that's a great tagline, Discover Discovery Education. That's not bad. Okay? I like
exactly.
It. All right? And Glenn, you have an interesting title, which strikes me as interesting. Director of Libraries, that I got, Literacies that's plural, and outreach. Okay, Glenn, what is it, talk about the literacies and outreach section of what your title implies.
Oh, gladly. First of all, in most districts, that would, I think my work would be considered the director of educational technology. But I found that to be falling short of the true purpose now. It's not about the technology anymore. It's about the necessary literacies, and that's intentional, plural, that is needed now with us now being in an information age of which I think we're still struggling to realize where we are historically.
Well, it's hard to,
it's
hard to put yourself where you are historically because history is moving so fast. Okay, when you get your when you get your feet settled, the ground starts to shift. Okay, which is the key.
Well,
thing.
That's the point.
Continue.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the point. So let me just point out to say literacies. The idea of literacy typically is we wanted kids to know how to, you know, read and write, but we got a whole nation for the most part that can read and write. But have you noticed there's a bit of a struggle with information and people believing and grabbing sources of information that could potentially harm themselves, each
Absolutely.
Other, and our democracy?
Absolutely.
So clearly,
Without
learning
question.
How to read alone is inadequate in an information age. That's why the word literacies is so important. Outreach means we need to partner with everybody. Being insular cutting yourself off from other districts, other people, dealing only with your own people is now just not, I don't think, is in the best interest of any district. I think the need for districts to be able to reach out, to open up, to collaborate, to reason together, to create together with other people that are within the education field and outside the education field is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity. So that's the reason for the outreach. And libraries, I want to bring that up because,
please.
Frankly, in a technology-driven education context, we're seeing more and more school libraries close as opposed to being strengthened. And when we're talking about information literacy, the demise
more.
Or the falling down of school libraries is a condition that I think if it was a medical condition, we would be admitted to the hospital right away. So much talk about students having equity of access. I really do appreciate your comments there. Part of or your commitment to equity and access.
Well,
if you think about what a school library represents, it's the one place a student can go in and choose whatever they want to read or whatever they want to learn without somebody telling them what they have to do. And when we want to see students represented in school libraries, we have to be intentional about it. So I would like to advocate for a restoration and a revival of the work of school libraries in all schools across this country.
Well, you mentioned several things, and I just want to say here we work very closely. You're quote, ed tech director, okay, without that title, but that's what you are. And we work very closely here with, I'm sure you're familiar with COSIN, the Consortium on School Networking, which is really the Ed Tech Directors Association. And the other group we work with, which we just adore, is the AASL, the American Association of School Libraries. And to me, the libraries, I'm going to agree with you 100%. In this time and age, libraries need to be 1,000% strengthened. All right? It's that
right.
simple. And the third thing I just want to say to you, I was just having this conversation with yesterday. I read a story about some poor guy in Texas, okay? Having read the internet, he did come down with COVID, and he started to self-medicate he read on the internet. He read, and that's the key word here. He read to take zinc and vitamin C and ivermectin, which is that pill that kills parasites in horses. All right, and unfortunately the man fell into unconsciousness and died 30 days later, leaving a wife and four kids. Okay, and my point of that, all right, is that we are teaching people to read, but we have to teach them about what they're reading and where that information
right.
comes from, et cetera. And I just said to somebody offhand, and it's funny you should mention that today, I feel bad that we taught that guy to read. okay, because we didn't teach Adam to teach him how to read right, all right? And yep. It's too bad. Again, the man left a wife and four kids, for goodness sakes. And your point, I guess I'm saying, is so perfect for today's world. It's unbelievable. Now, Deb, any questions, anything you want to add on that one, Deb? Debbie McCormick?
Yes, I would love to chime in on, obviously I completely agree with everything you guys are talking about. The access to libraries is definitely a concern, and I think, like you spoke to, Larry, it's just really important that we're addressing these kids and giving them the tools they need. And Discover Education works with many great corporate education partnerships. One of them happens to be Common Sense Education, and they really allow us to offer great resources and support to teachers and students in helping students to think critically about the news and media they encounter, really consider sharing information online and how that can really affect others and themselves, obviously. Also working to maintain an authentic online persona. I think that's really valuable in today's times. And
good point.
A lot of students don't understand that. And of course, the need to think critically about digital media and how that truly affects our communities is Glenn mentioned, and just society overall. So Discover Education works with great partners like that to really help bring those resources to the teachers and students, because this is such a need, obviously, our partners like Encinitas and Glenn have shared with us.
Yeah, it's so important in your use of the word tools. I was thinking just in light of this conversation, we can give a kid a hammer. All right, but if we don't teach him how to use the hammer, he'll clunk himself on the head. All right, it's that simple. All right, and we got to be really, really careful of that. And for some reason, okay, Deb's phone has dropped off, and I hope she realizes that and comes back on. I did nothing about that. Glenn, it's you and me, buddy, for a few minutes here. Okay.
That sounds great. I would add to your hammer analogy. Hurt themselves or someone else.
Yeah. Thank you. Well said, my friend. Well said. All right. And it's just, Deb, you dropped off for a second. You're back.
I apologize. A little tech issue there.
What happened? Your hand hit the off button, right? That's not the tech issue? What happened?
Pretty much, Larry.
That's what happened. It's a tech issue. I got it. Okay. We'll blame technology, hence Glenn. Glenn, that was your fault. We'll move on. Okay?
You're doing a fine job of underscoring the topic for today.
Exactly. We need to teach people how to use the tools we give them. Okay? It's that simple. Glenn, what we're talking about, and I want you to just go over this in a little bit of detail, the difference, the way you see it, I love the way you put all this together, the difference between the common term we use today, media literacy, and information literacy, which I know you see a tremendous difference in there. Just explain that one.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, the idea of media literacy is you know, encapsulated by the words themselves. It's to be literate about media. So when we talk about media, we think about there's all kinds of different types of media, but typically it's more about news, that kind of thing typically. I mean, it does have a wider range, of course. But when we talk about information literacy, this is about all forms of information, which includes media. And the skill sets there are really haven't changed at all for a very, very long time. So the idea of being media literate does get more specific and more granular in terms of skill set, because you're dealing with the type of media, like if it's a type of technology or television, et cetera, and those types of potential biases that come in there. But with information literacy is really the garage where media literacy parks its plane.
Ah, there you go. I like that. It's a good analogy. Speaking of good analogies, that was a good one.
Okay. And so for information literacy in California, we actually have standards that we had to create standards for this about a decade ago. And I was one of the lead writers on that. And we broke it down into basically all the vowels, you know, how people access information. That's A, how they evaluate that information, how they integrate that information, how they are aware of the rights of the originators of the information, and how they use that information safely, ethically, and legally. And that's the AEIOU of information literacy.
I like that. Again, you're good at this. I like the way you bring these things out. You should run for office. I may be governor. Do another recall. What do you think?
I would like California to become a little bit more information literate before I would ever throw my hat in the ring.
Thank you. Exactly. But your points are so well taken and easy to understand the way you explain them. And I really like it. So put this together, okay? And this is key. And Discovery, my good friends, again, so I want to include them in this conversation, they produce great curriculum and all that sort of stuff, in my opinion, all right? And they really do. And I do a lot of work with the school districts who use their product, making digital transitions, et cetera. But when you come at all this from your point of view and Deb comes knocking on the door, all right, what does Discovery do, or how did you work with Discovery, okay, or any given company, okay, to put your goals into effect for the thousands of kids who go to Encinitas schools? Okay, and I'm going to start with you, Glenn, and then I'm going to ask Deb from the other side. Just how you work with a company to make this happen.
Well, again, from my vantage point, it doesn't start with a company. It starts with a conviction, and it starts with a commitment to students who, we've got students learning across this country. It doesn't mean they're loving the learning. In fact, if you ask students, if you look at the test scores, are you learning? There's many evidence points that give us the conclusion that, for the most part, our students are learning. But when you ask them, well, how do you like school? And you hear the answer is, I hate it. I don't know how in the world we're calling that success. We're not factoring in the love of learning. We're just factoring in learning. And just because a particular intervention is resulting in learning, but if it's causing the student to hate the learning, then we're causing long-term damage. Part of the problem in K-12 education, I think, is this obsession with answers, the obsession with getting the right answer and having the right content. And I think this has sadly resulted in what I call post-traumatic standards disorder. We've got such a focus on standards that we forgot about the focus was supposed to be the student. Mm-hmm. So if you think about a kindergartner, when they come to school, one thing, if you've ever met a kindergartner, they have an incredible power that we slowly remove from them as they go through the K-12 experience, which is they are able to ask unbelievable amounts of questions. Questions enough to tire any mature adult. But that's a kind of a hardwired thing so that very young kids are ready to learn. And that curiosity we slowly dismantle in the name of getting them the content that they need to learn. In the day now where students can pull out their phone and ask any question they want and seek after any information they want, it shows a widening gap of relevance between what happens at school and what happens in our students' personal lives. So from my vantage point, if we're going to move forward, empowered learning, student-empowered learning, student-centric learning, we have to allow students to be able to ask the questions that matter to them and then direct them to sources that will allow for them to use that inquiry, use that curiosity to explore those areas and questions that matter to them. And you can imagine for a first grader, second grader, third grader, fourth grader, maybe sending them out to Google right away is not the right call. I call it kind of the dumpster diving of information. You know, you could find some good stuff in there, but you can also find some broken glass in an old banana peel.
Absolutely.
So the beautiful thing about our media driven students who are going to YouTube all the time to get information rightly or wrongly, they're used to getting information by video. And the beautiful thing about Discovery, for example, is we can send our students not there to Discovery to advance a specific curricular area, even though that is part of what Discovery can do. What excites me about Discovery is that we can now free our students with a confidence of knowing they can explore any topic that matters to them, and they're going out to vetted, age-appropriate sources that that speak to them in a media format that speaks to their world.
Wow, that was pretty good. And when you give an introduction like that, this is a key question. When you give an introduction like that, and Deb, I'll put you on the spot for a second here. You're a pro at this. Okay, and you hear the goals of a school district said the way Glenn just said them. Okay, what's your reaction as a Discovery Education manager? And I think that's an important question because everybody knows, and I mean this sincerely, you guys do good work. Okay, and I'm very close with your company, Discovery. But it's a great thing when you hear a definition like that, okay, from an administrator at a school district. What's the reaction to that, okay, as you hear that kind of thing? And that was great, Glenn. Thank you. Deb, I'm just curious.
Well, it's lovely to hear, Glenn. Thank you so much for, you know, what you've attributed to Discovery Education. But, I mean, Discovery Education really prides itself on supporting opportunities for students to really explore with intent and curiosity and wonder. I mean, that's just kind of the core of what we are. And I think, like Glenn spoke to, it's a safe, vetted environment for kids to go and do that exploration. They'll find videos, but beyond videos, they'll find images, they'll find interactives, they'll find some text. So it's going to be all there for them under one kind of umbrella and knowing that it's safe, right? They're not going to come across anything. They're not going to dumpster dive in Discovery Education, right?
Good line,
and
isn't
so
it?
Just, right, exactly.
Dumpster dive,
and
I like that,
Yeah. In working with Glenn, we discovered, too, we have a powerful tool that's a content creation collaboration tool called Studio. And it can be teacher-driven, but it also can be student-driven. And the students can collaborate. And as Glenn spoke to, they can, you know, empower their own learning. They can go in there and look for those resources and create these boards to demonstrate what they've discovered and learned. And that was a huge increase in Sunitas Union Elementary School District in terms of usage. So I think that just points to what Glenn's, you know, really talking about here and getting students in and really getting them to kind of drive their own learning.
It's so important. And Glenn, I have to ask you this, to jump on what Deb was just saying. All right. And I don't know if this is accurate in California. You can help me here. Most teachers, and maybe it's really well changing out there, have not been trained to really do this as well as they could, okay, trained. Not that they're not intelligent enough to do it and all that sort of thing, but it requires a lot, I think, and you're going to have to answer this for me, of professional development. Somehow we've laid it on the profession as opposed to the colleges, okay? And Glenn, when you see all these things, okay, and then you know you have to train your teachers. What's the step in there, Glenn Warren?
Well, I'm going to have to ask you to narrow down that question for me.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's loaded.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Are you talking about
answer
how do we
way
prepare
you wish.
Teachers? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with where teachers are. First of all, again,
well,
the focus
let me help
has
you.
Been,
the Discovery product, all those wonderful things that Deb said. But somebody has to not only train the teachers to use it, but train them in the pedagogy of respecting the kids' questions and guiding them along to the plethora of answers they need. And most teachers, have not been trained to do that. The training is different, which I still don't understand, from the way a lot of it reacts in the classroom. All right? And so just go from there, if that helps.
You know, that helps a lot. Thanks for that.
Thank
okay,
you.
So yeah, I think I think, for example, you have people go, you know, it's technology innovation, or it's not. A technology is a tool. It's what you do with it that makes it innovative.
Thank you.
Right? And so,
I've
heard a lot of people talk about innovation, but it's not the thing that's innovative. It's what you where you go with that. With something. So, for example, Discovery is full of vetted, age-appropriate materials that are connected to standards. And those words are what typically excites leaders and teachers within a school district. None of what I just said excites me at all. none of that. What excites me is not the content that we deliver to students that they can then regurgitate in a test later. What excites me is that it's not about the, you know, people will say, well, how are my students learning? I can tell how well my students are learning by the answers they give me. I would challenge that thinking by saying, I can tell how well your students are learning by the questions that they are asking.
Well said. Well,
and that
well
shift,
said.
By, and Larry, wait a minute. That shift, I want to underscore how serious that shift is. It is literally a credible rut that we are in that we don't even know we're in. Because when you walk into a classroom, the walls are shrines to student answers. There's answers all over the walls in our classrooms. Rarely do you go into a classroom and see a tribute to the ongoing appetite of student formulated questions. One example of this is that the teacher is the one that's supposed to come up with the essential question. My question is, who died and left you boss of the essential question? Why aren't you tapping into the rich curiosity of every single student in your class and partner with them to co-create the curriculum rather than deliver it to them? And Discovery can respond to that because as those questions arise, instead of having to assign students to do something, if the students are the ones formulating the questions, you can't stop them from wanting to go out and find the answers to those questions.
Where are we grade level-wise on this, Glenn?
Well, that's ours is an elementary school district, and I'll give you a COD example of that.
If you look at
people who start at high school and work backwards, it's a day late and a dollar short.
I agree with you on that one. I definitely
and
do.
So and the studies, like for example, from the Right Question Institute and others, have shown that our students' capacities to ask their own questions are at their highest when they're in kindergarten, and they are virtually gone by the time they get to middle school, it's tragic, really tragic.
Yes.
If you think about it, questions are the hunger of learning. So you can make the best food in the world, but if you have no appetite, who's going to eat it? So we're making better and better and better lessons, and yet we're not cultivating the hunger of learning by having students ask those questions. So I'll give you a COD example. We had a group of sixth graders that were trying to do a research paper on Dr. Martin Luther King. And so we said, well, why don't we have the students ask their questions first? And an entire class of sixth graders managed to come up with about 12 questions as an entire class that they wanted to ask. And then what we did is we brought in their little buddies from kindergarten, and we had them come in.
And how many questions?
And we said to them, hey, we asked, do you have any questions? Well, 64 questions later, and the teacher with a hand cramp had to stop. And when the sixth graders realized that this was a competition between them and their kindergarten little buddies, and the little buddies had just cleaned the floor with them, their eyes opened up and realized, wow, we used to be like that, and we
really
need to get back there. Yeah.
They did think that through? They really did.
Oh, they absolutely did. They were horrified when they realized, because they're used to having the kindergartners be the ones that are being helped. They had never seen the shoe flip where the kindergartners had come to help them.
Wow. 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 So, Deb, when you hear this kind of thing, okay, and you go were you involved in the PD to get them to understand how to use Discovery products?
We have done some engagement with Encinitas. Can you hear me there? And as Discovery Education as a whole, I mean, really just the content there is and the resources provide the teachers and students to drive their engagement. With the vast library of rich content and really real world experiences. and tie those with research-based engagement strategies to really support the teachers and kind of help drive this student-empowered learning.
Deb, I think it's important, to point out something that Larry, I think everybody should hear, is that how we move this forward is we jumped directly to the students, and we started sharing with the students about this. And our data in our district showed that Discovery Education's increase of usage was led by the students in our district using it.
Wow. Wow.
And then they influenced our teachers.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing when you have students as partners in learning rather than just clients.
Oh, that's a great piece of information. You got that one down, Deb? That's a good one.
Yeah, got it nailed down.
I mean, that's really a good one, all right? I have to tell you. And I have to ask something else, okay? Glenn, you talked before about, quote, creating a love of learning as opposed to a love of standards and a high score on the test. Okay, if I may. All right? I think I read that into what you were saying. Yeah, okay. Keeping that going, that emotion, all right, every school district is talking about social-emotional learning. All right, you may have heard we mentioned we're starting this new thing we call SEL Today. It's at seltoday.org. And you said that the kids, if I may, lose their fire a little bit or a lot as they go through K-12. All right, and that's not good. Okay, we want to keep them engaged and the fire really hot. And I think, and I don't mean to jump to an answer before I ask the question, but how important is the SEL in all this, the social emotional learning, so that teachers understand how to keep that fire lit? I hope that's a good question for you.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we have to kind of understand. I have a view about where SEL came from. SEL is social emotional learning. It became very obvious, I think, to many that it was desperately needed.
Yeah, especially these days.
Desperately needed.
Yeah.
And I totally 100% agree with that. We have actually very intentional in our district about that. We are very focused on that. But I think I should say I think it's important to consider how we got there. I think because we focus so much on standards instead of the person of the student, we created this horrible vacuum that hurt students, and it made us wake up to this idea that we had to bring in this value-added thing called SEL. I would argue that we should have been intentional about this from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
All good learning
Agreed.
Starts with the student. It starts with the individual. It starts with their story. It starts with what matters to them. You know, one of the, I think, the damaging things along the way has not been that standards are bad and students, you know, standards don't have a place. It's all about putting the right emphasis on the right syllable. And we've been doing the wrong thing for so long. And so it's not about flopping off standards for the sake of social emotional learning or something like that. It's really about how we where the emphasis goes. This might be an example for you. You know what's happening? I would wager you, and I would think there's significant research. I'll let someone else fact check.
I may agree with you and not take this bet, but go ahead.
But I think what's happened is just one of many, many examples is that the learning has been the servant of the standards, and that's messed up. The standards were supposed to be the servant of learning.
Yeah.
And that flip has created this need for social-emotional learning. Another example of that is, in many school districts, we hear about rigor, relevance, and relationship as being key to learning. And, you know, obviously the relationship piece really speaks generally to SEL. But typically you'll hear districts reference those three things in the order I gave it to you, rigor, relevance, and relationship. And in that statement, you can already hear how things are messed up, because that's the wrong order. It should be relationship, relevance, and then rigor becomes almost organic rather
that's
than
right.
manufactured.
Actually, that is exact. That is a great point. Okay, and we always keep these things separate. Okay, we say rigor, we say SEL, etc., but in our mind, okay, they're separate. All right, and they should never have been separated. Should never have been separated, and it would all work together. But we tend to do that. It's really you're an interesting guy, Glenn Warren. I got to tell you, you got your act together, man. They're lucky to have you.
Well, I wanted to show you how we put that together with love, Larry. I think you might like this. We actually knew love was kind of a word that teachers didn't and administrators didn't want to use because, oh, that's a bugaboo. But if you make an acronym out of it, then people are warmer. So we changed that into – we took love and made an acronym out of
go
it.
Ahead, go ahead.
It stands for Learning Opportunities Valuing Everyone.
Nice.
And so the idea
nice.
Is you hear about the learning in the first two letters and the student in the last two letters. That learning opportunities valuing everyone. So when a student cares to learn about something, for example, Discovery Education provides the learning opportunities that value every student.
What a nice thing to say. And that's, you know, you've got it nailed. What do you think of all that, Deb? I think you agree, Ms. McCollum.
I 100%. I 100%
yeah.
agree. Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
And, you know, again, here at Discover Education, you know, we believe that it's really important to keep that fire lit for the students and really make sure they're engaged and excited about their learning. And through that process, Discover Education, you know, is able to provide lots of resources that help teachers
yeah.
engage with the strategies and skills and tools needed to put students kind of at the center of that learning. So that's a powerful vision here at Discover Education.
And Glenn gave you another great sales line, opportunities valuing everyone. That's the definition you do with Discovery. You provide the opportunities. It's that simple. Okay?
Right.
That value
Agreed.
Everyone. This is good. You got to carry Glenn in your briefcase when you go to other schools.
I wish I could, Glenn.
You open up like that old ventriloquist who had the head inside the box and would talk to you. Okay, that's what you need. You need Glenn inside the box. You open it up and he does the thing. Okay, and it'd be perfect. Okay, Glenn, they're lucky to have you. Is all I can say, my friend. They're lucky to have
you.
Well,
we feel similar. We feel similarly towards them as well. In fact, one of the beautiful members of Discovery Education for a long, long time is Hal Davidson. And he is a co-board member of the oldest student media festival in the country, the California Student Media Festival. And I'm the director of that. It's over 54 years old.
Why am I not surprised? But anyway, yeah.
And what's beautiful about that is we talk about this idea of media. You know, now Discovery delivers media to students that is, you know, age-appropriate and vetted. And now we're helping to create a whole nother generation of those that are producing video that is a
right.
media that is age appropriate and relevant and credible.
The opportunities of viewing should lead to the production. I mean, that's a natural path, and that's so important.
You would think
guys,
so.
We got Well, obviously, it's working. At least with you guys, it really is. Okay, Deb and Glenn, you two were terrific to have on today. We got to go. Okay, so I'll say thank you, Ms. McCommon. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your time.
Oh, you're kidding. My pleasure. And Glenn, I hope we do more together. You're really a thought leader in all this, I got to tell you. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're out there doing the work you're doing, especially with your commitment to equity and access and your commitment to social-emotional learning.
Well, we do try, okay? And I'll say the websites again, seltoday.org and ace-ed.org. Thank you, guys. And Glenn, sell the house in Encinitas and come here and buy Maine. Okay? it's on sale. All right. That's all I can say. You can have entire counties. It'd be that simple. All right? Thank you both. Have a great day. Stay safe out there, okay? Be good.
Thanks.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Right. And Glenn is right now putting up that for sale sign and going to come out here and purchase the entire state of Maine. All right. So thank you, Deb. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Stephen, over at Discovery. Good choice of guests, man. I got to tell you, that was great. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. And again, check out seltoday.org and Discovery. I'll give it simple. Just Google Discovery Education. All right. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Have a nice day.